Greetings, everyone, from Hope Lutheran Church, and welcome back to our online service for this week. I hope you are all doing well and what is necessary to stay well, and you and your families. I want to invite everyone to join us once again this Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning for our Zoom Cafe Hope. You will receive a link when we send out the email blast that will enable you to join us for our fellowship through Zoom. I want to thank everyone who's participating in this morning's service. Our reader today is Monica. And singing are Glorianne, Lucy, Jan, and of course playing is Vaughn, and Skip and Judy are recording the service. We are going to begin our service this morning by turning to hymn number 597, verses 1 and 4.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Today's gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. The word of the Lord.
Open your ears, O faithful people. Open your ears and hear God's word. Open your hearts, O royal priesthood. God has come to you. God has spoken to the people. Alleluia. God has spoken words of wisdom. Alleluia. God has spoken to the people. Alleluia. God has spoken words of wisdom. Alleluia. They who have ears to
for that fantastic anthem this morning. I almost stood up and danced, but no one would have wanted to see that, I can tell you. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, whom some of you may recall, spent much of his life in a gulag in Soviet Russia and wrote a long book about what that was like called The Gulag Archipelago. Tells the story about one dark, cold night when he woke up while lying on a bed of rotting straw. And he had been contemplating the question of evil, asking that age-old question that's been debated over and over and over again. Are human beings basically good, or is everyone capable of darkness and evil? He claimed that at that moment in time, he realized that evil does not lie in states or corporate entities, but rather that it comes from the human heart. That when we participate in a group, here's an example for you. In the early 30s, as Hitler was coming to power in Nazi Germany, a young student decided to spread anti-Nazi propaganda. Unfortunately, a fellow student informed the Gestapo. She was arrested, and she lost her life. There was the story of a young woman of great courage who stood up to the evil that had spread throughout the society and who lost her life because of it. I read a book recently by a woman named Rebecca McLaughlin entitled Confronting Christianity, wherein she asks 12 hard questions of Christians. And In that book, she tells the story of a woman named Joy. Joy was born Jewish, highly intelligent. She had a doctor's degree in something. I can't remember what it was. But early in her life, she decided that she was going to be an atheist. She wasn't quite sure why. She hadn't really worked out the arguments yet. But that's what she decided. She decided there was no God to worship. Eventually, she married. She had three children. And one night, her husband called. Her husband worked, this was in New York City. I don't remember his occupation, but he worked in something that made a lot of money. Unfortunately, he was also an alcoholic and had no intentions of seeking help for that. In any case, one day or one evening, he called her and said, "I'm having a nervous breakdown." And then he hung up the phone. Joy had no idea what to do. She called and called. She tried to get a hold of him to no avail. She called others. They hadn't seen him. So as it grew later and later, she finally put the children to bed. And while she was alone in the living room, she writes, she realized at that moment for the first time in her life that she was totally helpless. This situation she had no control over whatsoever. All her defenses came down. Her sense of arrogance, her sense of knowing the deep questions of life. She realized that she was like all of us. And at that moment, she said a miracle happened. The door to her heart was opened, and God came in. She writes that she had such a sense of joy in that moment that the rest of her previous life seemed like nothing but shadow play. How many people do you think understand the gospel message? Jesus' parable is about spreading the word and how the word is received in the human heart. I think that in our secular age, that the gospel is not well understood. This past week, on Tuesday, I recorded the next in my lectures on the history of ancient Israel. And this week I focused on the story of the children of Israel reaching Mount Sinai. It had been 3 months. They're on their way to the Promised Land. And Moses disappears to the top of Mount Sinai into a dark cloud to receive the Ten Commandments from God. The children of Israel are at the base of the mountain waiting. Unfortunately, Moses is gone for an extended period of time. And eventually, the children of Israel lose all their faith that he's ever going to come back. So they go to his brother Aaron, and they say, "Aaron, make for us gods to worship. As for this Moses, we have no idea what's become of him." Aaron, unfortunately, in a total lack of leadership, bowed to their demands. He asked them to give him all of their gold. He melted it down, and he created a golden calf. And he said, "Hear, O Israel, is your God." And the people had a party. Eventually, of course, Moses did return, and when he saw what had happened to the faith of his people, that they had completely abandoned the living God who had freed them from slavery, led them thus far on their way to the promised land, that they had completely abandoned their faith and put their faith in something that was nothing more than a created object. It was not a God at all. It was just a thing which they invested with divine attributes, as if this thing could give them life or hope or lead them on into the future. And he threw the tablets of the law to the ground and they broke into pieces. Well, this isn't a story just about Israel. It's a story about the human heart. What happens when human beings lose their faith in the living God or decide that there is no God? The fact of the matter is that everyone puts their faith in something. We all have to choose the values and the beliefs that we're going to live by. What is it that's going to give meaning to my life? What is it that's going to give me a sense of being alive and give me hope and a future? In a secular age, that becomes golden calves. For example, consider for a moment how people assess the value of education. Now, in a Christian sense, what we decide to do in our lives is a vocation. It's a calling. And the underlying meaning of what we decide to do, whether that's teaching or nursing or labor or whatever it is, the idea is that this is the way in which we can serve our neighbor, our community, and our God. That's the underlying idea. The meaning of work is service. But in our day and age, it seems to me, education is now understood as a kind of escalator to a greater and more affluent life. More prestige, more power, more money. Well, if that's the meaning of life, if that's what I've put my faith in, then that becomes my God. That's what my heart is attached to. Luther, in his explanation to the First Commandment in the Large Catechism, said, faith and God are two sides of the same coin. That which you put your faith in is your God. I think that the gospel these days is not very well understood. Christianity has been shrinking for some time, and I don't think it's because people are less religious. I think people are want spirituality in their lives. But for some reason, the Christian faith isn't very well understood, and it's being less and less accepted. In order to understand it, I want to go back to the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, on the night before he was crucified, he went to the garden and he prayed. And he prayed, God, if this cup can pass by me, please let it be. Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. And Luke records that Jesus became so agitated and fearful that he actually sweat blood. Now, some have speculated, well, he was afraid to die. That isn't what it was. What Jesus was afraid of was the fact that he was going to be bearing the wrath of God against human sin and evil on behalf of all of us. The whole weight of God's anger against sin was going to be put on his shoulders. He drank the cup of God's judgment and then threw it away. Our hearts become good soil when we realize that God took upon himself the judgment against our sin and the evil that we have a proclivity to, and bore it in our place. So that when we turn to God, what we find now is a loving Father who is like the father in that other parable Jesus told about the prodigal son. When his son returned home, the father ran out to meet him, embraced him, kissed him, and threw a party. The seed of God's word is the seed that abundant life is found in Christ. Christ takes our darkness, our sins, and the consequences of them upon himself, and in return, he gives us his blessedness, his peace, his love, his mercy, and his life. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, in order to make it perfectly clear what the message was, "I have come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly." When we receive the word of the gospel in our hearts and let it grow, which is a lifelong process, that is what we discover. We discover that in Christ we have life, we have hope, and he transforms our hearts so that we can actually learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we learn how to do that, we make the world a better place. Amen. We will turn now to hymn number 504, verses 1 and 4.
He breaks the
Let us pray. O Lord, in this time of conflict in our country, help our church to be a beacon of light and hope and reconciliation. While the church does witness to Christ in the political realm, we are not partisans. We pray fervently that your will be done regardless of which political party is in power. Our prayers are for those we disagree with as well as for those we support. Change our hearts to see our leaders and political rivals as fellow members of God's family, even though we may deeply disagree with their views. In our prayers, help us to humbly acknowledge that we are not better or more right than others, but that we are all God's beloved children and can show the gospel together through our loving prophetic actions, both in the political realm and everywhere else. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 510, 510. Now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you all for joining us again this week. Stay well, take care, and we'll see you all next time. Bye for now.